I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of 1 John. You will find 1 John near the back of your Bible in the New Testament. We know this as Little John. It's the Apostle John that penned this letter to fellow believers, and he was the same one that laid upon Jesus' breast the night of the Last Supper. He's the one that recorded the gospel according to John. John's work seems to be all caught up with this matter of love. If you want to know about the love of God, and if you want to know about God's love in us, then you need to read the writings of John. You need to read the gospel of John, and you need to read the letters of John. This man, John, has written a good deal of the New Testament in addition to the three letters and the gospel. He has also written the Revelation, the book of the Revelation. It's according to St. John. He was a man that lived with Jesus and walked with Jesus and ministered with Jesus and was, according to the gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was the special recipient of apparently a special measure of the love of the Lord. I believe that he was that recipient because he was a channel of that love, that he allowed the love of God that dwelt in him to flow through him. And you can see that as you read his letters and as you read the gospel. He was all wrapped up in the fact that Jesus Christ was love, and that if he was, then we should be. Present tense. I want to read a passage out of 1 John. I'm going to begin to read in the second chapter, the first verse. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord wants to share with us this morning some aspects of walking in love, of living in love, as he did. One of the last things that Jesus our Lord commanded before he was crucified was that we should love one another as he loved us. In John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, the 12th verse, also in the 13th chapter, the 34th verse, he says, "This is my commandment, or a new commandment I give unto you, and that is that ye should love one another as I have loved you." All through the Old Testament, we have commandments that were given of God, based upon the original 10 that were given to Moses on the mount, when God, by His own finger, wrote on the tablets of stone. But when Jesus came, and just before His crucifixion, He says, "A new commandment give I unto you, and that is that you should love one another, even as I have loved you." And in essence, He is saying, "I have given you an example. You watched my life. I lived among you, and you saw how I responded to the things of this world. You saw how I responded to other people when they reproached me. You saw how I responded to other people when they criticized me, when they mocked me, when they offended me, when they scourged me. And that example is the one I want you to follow. In the same manner as I have loved you, I want you to love one another." And on in the next verse in John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, he says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." In other words, if you have my nature, if you live like me, if you love like me, then people will say, "Hey, he's like a chip off the old block." And you don't take a chip off the old block and have it be different than the block. The chip and the block are the same. And Jesus said, if you want to be like me, if you want men to know that you belong to me, that you're my disciples, you're going to have to be a chip off the old block. You're going to have to love one another just like I have loved you. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins." Now, that word propitiation is a big theological word that means he makes amends for our sins. In other words, he takes care of them. He pays the price for them. "But not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." John is saying it's not the will of God that any of you should sin. My desire and God's desire, and the reason I'm writing this letter, is that you don't sin. Now get that clear in your mind. The reason that John is writing this letter is so that the people of God will not sin. He says, my little children, I write this to you so that you won't sin. But he said, if you do, if you miss it, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he stands before God the Father. He's paid the price for our sins. Verse number 3. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now that's strong language, beloved, but it is the language given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. And he says that if we know Jesus, if we really know him, not know about him, but if we know him personally, then we will keep his commandments. This is how we can be sure that we know him, is if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and doesn't keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, what are the commandments that God has given us? The commandment is given very conveniently in the 3rd chapter of this letter, the 23rd verse. And if you'll turn with me, let's read it together before we go on. And this is his commandment. Now, we've just been told that if we say we know him, that we will keep his commandments. If we don't keep his commandments, then we don't know him. We're just lying to ourselves and anybody else. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's number one, that we believe on him and love one another as he gave us commandments. Now, what are the commandments that we're to keep? There are two. One, we are to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to love one another. Now, I can tell you that you cannot keep the second one unless you have done the first one. It's impossible to love one another until you have first believed on Jesus. You can't do it. Now, you may have human love for each other. You may have a caring for one another, but you will never be able to have the kind of love that God commands us to have for one another until you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he that loveth not knoweth not God. The love of God comes to us when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we believe not in him but on him, when we put our trust on him, when we become changed on the inside, when we are born again, if you like. We get a new nature on the inside, and God writes his law in our heart. Then it becomes natural for us to love one another. It can't work any other way. Some of you, now you watch this. Some of you have been surprised about members of your family. You have grown up in families where there was a lot of familial love. Mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, there was a lot of love in your family, and you grew up in what you felt was a loving environment. And then one day, you found yourself crossways with your father, or crossways with your mother, or crossways with your brother or your sister, and you found out that they came at you in a way that it surprised you, and it took you aback, and you had never experienced that kind of reaction, and you found out that your family loved you as long as you agreed with them. Is that right? But the minute you disagreed, you found out there wasn't any love there. Why not? Because that family member very probably does not have the love of God residing in. You see, the love of God bears all things, endures all things, believes all things, takes no offense at wrong done to it. It's a different kind of love altogether. It's not human love. It's a love that a human being cannot experience without experiencing Jesus Christ first. It's the only way it comes. God is love. We must first believe on Jesus, put our trust in him. Secondly, we are to love one another. It's a command of God. Now, John said, if we say we know him, but do not keep his commandments, he called us a liar. I don't like the language any better than you do. But I didn't say it. The Apostle John, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, did. Now watch verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, that is, keepeth this commandment and loves each other, verily is the love of God, in him verily is the love of God perfected. As we love each other, as we walk in love toward each other, in that person, John said, that God's love runs its full course or is made mature and complete in us. How many of you want the love of God in its fullness in your life? Want the love of God in its maturity in your life? Want the love of God to run its full course in your life? How many of you do want that? Now, the Word of God says that in order to get that to happen, we must keep His Word. We must love each other. When we do, when we love each other in spite, you know, some people, let's face it, some people are just hard to love. Some people are easy to love. You see, the ones that think like we do and look like we do and act like we do and say, yes, that's right, See, those people are easy to love. But there's some people just hard to love. The Bible doesn't make any distinction about the easy ones and the hard ones. Some of you are married to ones that are hard to love. Hard to love. God's Word says, hard, easy, in between, love them. And when we do, the love of God is matured in us. It's completed in us. I say hallelujah. I want all of that. I want the maturity of God's love. I want it perfected in me. And I'll do anything to get it. Even love somebody that is difficult to love. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. All right. Now let's go on to verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now let me paraphrase that. If anyone says, I abide in Jesus, that means he's the Lord of my life and I'm living in him, then he also ought to live like Jesus lived. Now if I say I'm a Christian, then I need to live like Jesus lived. That means I need to love like he loved. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. As Christians, we are known by our love in heaven as well as in the earth. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. This isn't some brand new revelation. The old commandment is the word which you have had from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. In other words, at the same time, it is new. It's new every day. Which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Now watch these next four verses. I want you to get these next four verses. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now what's he saying? He says, if we love our brother, if we will walk in love towards that other person, God's Word says that we will walk in the light. That we will live in the light. But he says that one that does not love his brother, but hateth, the word hateth there literally means to dislike. It's the same word in which we are instructed in the Gospels to hate our mother and father when we compare that to how we feel about the Lord. He says, he that does not hate his mother and father is not fit to be my disciple. What he means is to love the mother and father less than we love Jesus. You understand that principle? And so what the Lord is saying here through John is that if we hate our brother or if we dislike our brother, we're walking in darkness. Now let me give you the thing in my own words. This is what John is saying. As a Christian, beloved, if you love one another, and operate in love towards each other, then your life will be lived in light. And when there is light, you can see where you're going. You can understand what is right to do. You will be able to make right decisions and right choices because you'll hear the word of the Lord clearly. You will get guidance and wisdom and revelation from God, which is truly from God. You'll walk in the light. You'll open this word, and it'll be a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path if you walk in love. However, if you decide to walk outside of love, with any other human being, within the body, within the family, or wherever. God's word says, that man that hateth his brother is walking in the darkness even until now. That means as long as he's walking outside of love, he stays in the darkness. Now, when a man walks in the darkness, do you know what he does? He stumbles all over the place. Usually he falls and bloodies his nose. And while he's falling, he jerks down four or five others with him. Now you know Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you look at some of the things that they're doing and you say, my God! Oh my God! What has happened to that person? Oh good Lord! Why would she do that? Oh Lord God! Why would he do that kind of thing? I'm telling you why. Because he or she walked outside of love. If you want to walk in the light, beloved, you've got to walk in love. Because the minute that you walk outside of love, the minute you step outside the bounds of love, you walk in the darkness. And when you walk in the darkness, you're going to trip and stumble and you're going to fall. God's word says clearly, verse number 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Get that. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. That sounds like a good deal to me. To love by decision and by commitment, and then to have clear vision, clear sight, clear direction, and not be stumbling through life. There are Christians today that are doing some of the dumbest, I mean just some of the stupidest things. If you only knew, some of the dumb things people do. Do you know why some folks have difficulty hearing the voice of God? Do you know why God doesn't speak to them clearly? Do you know why Christians cannot hear the voice of God when the Bible says, my sheep know my voice and they hear me and they follow me? Do you know why Christians cannot hear the voice of the shepherd? Because they're in the dark. Because they're walking outside of love and there's no light in there and they can't see where they're going and they're stumbling and tripping and falling. And the world is looking at them and saying, if that's the kind of faith you've got, I don't want it. The key, beloved, is to walk in love. Yeah, but she hurt me. It hurt Jesus too. You haven't shed any blood yet, have you? Striving against sin. They hurt Jesus. They put him on a cross. Do you know what kind of love he's talking about? The kind that says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. The kind that Stephen had when he looked out and they were throwing the rocks at him and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. The kind that Jesus called great. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, that he be willing to deny himself for another person. That's love. That's what love is. I'm going to show you what the opposite of love is. It's over in John, 1 John 3. Look at it with me. You watch, I tell you, you watch Christians that are stumbling around and don't know where they're going, that are stumbling and falling and having all sorts of difficulties. You look back, if you know anything about them, you just look back just a little ways and you'll see where they walked out of love. You'll see where they walked out of love. 1 John 3 and verse 10. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. You see what Cain did? Cain looked at his brother, and his brother was living a good life. His brother was doing what was pleasing in the light of, in the eyes of God. And Cain hated him because Cain's works were evil and his brother's were righteous. And because he got jealous and began to walk outside of love, instead of saying, "Praise God, Abel, I'm so glad that God has received your offering. What did I do wrong, Abel? Help me here. Tell me what I did wrong. I'll go get an offering like you've got." But instead, he walked outside of love with his brother, and he plotted and schemed, and he found his brother alone in the field, and he killed him. "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, because their deeds are evil. Yours are righteous. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in," what? Death. Now that's worse than darkness. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He's operating in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. Now that's hard language. That is hard language. He that does not like his brother, he that is walking outside of love with his brother, is a murderer. John says, "You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in its dangerous ground, beloved." It is dangerous ground. "Hereby perceive we the love of God." Here's how we know the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. That's how we know what love really is. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look down at chapter 4 and verse 20, and let me read you a couple of verses here. Now there are a lot of people in the body of Christ, too many, if you want to know the truth. Too many say, "Well, I love God, but I can't love him. I love God, but I just can't stand to be around her. I love God, but nobody's got the right to do to me what she did." Well, I want to read you a letter. This is to you personally if you feel like that. If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You cannot love God and hate your brother at the same time. If you hate your brother, you're hating God. And so there's no sense to say, "Oh, I love you, God. Oh, I worship you and praise you, Lord. Oh, I bless your name and magnify and exalt you." In the meantime, you have something against your brother. God says, "You lay your gift down at the altar and go make right with your brother, because your worship's not doing a bit of good. You get that thing right with your brother. You get that thing right with your sister. Then you come and bring your bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to Jesus." You can't love one and not the other. Verse number 21, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat," that's God, "loveth him also that is begotten of him." Now, how many of you are begotten of God? Being born again. That's what it means to be begotten of God. If you're born again, let me see your hands. Put them up there. Hold them up. Don't be embarrassed that you're born again. Bless the Lord, that's the most important thing ever happened to you, be born again. That means you're begotten of God. Now look around. Now if you say you love God, you'll love these people. You'll love them. Okay, you may put your hands down. Now let me say this. You'll love them whether they're beautiful or not beautiful. You'll love them whether they had a shower this morning or whether they got body odor. Now it's a shame. It's a shame that that is that way, but some Christians do. Just haven't learned about bodily cleanliness yet. You'll love them whether they smell good or whether they smell like tobacco. You hear me? If you love the father, you will also love the child. You'll love them whether or not they're in sin or whether they're living a life of holiness. There's no qualification given here. It says you'll love them! And if we say that we're living in God, that we're abiding in him, we're going to keep his commandments. Now remember what this love is. It's the love that says, "I am willing. I am willing take whatever He gives. I'm willing to take whatever she dishes out, and I'm willing to love while the stones are being thrown at me. Amen? All right, now let's go back to the second chapter again. Watch this now. Now, this will help some of you who perhaps are in this situation right now. It will also help some of you who know others who are. Verse 11, I want to read verse 11 again. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. Now, we've seen some of this in the body of Christ. We've seen some of this in our own local body, where brothers or sisters have gotten out of love. They have walked out of love. They begin to harbor bitterness and resentment against other brothers and other sisters. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. If you want to see clearly, you're going to have to walk in love. If you want clear vision, if you want clear guidance from God, you're going to have to walk in love no matter how bad it hurts. It cost Jesus Christ His life to walk in love. It's going to cost you your life too to walk in love. But it's the only way. It's the only way. If you won't walk in love, and if I won't walk in love, then it's Katie bar the door. It's Katie bar the door. You're walking in a dark place. And when you're walking in a dark place, beloved, you know who's going to come at you? Who lives in the darkness? Who's the king of the kingdom of darkness? You're walking in his backyard. When you're walking in his backyard, you better believe that he's going to play his games on you. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. He said, love your brother. I can't love him. There's no way I'm going to lie. No, forgive him. Or you saw what he did. Well, then stay in your darkness a while and stumble around. That's your choice. That's your choice. It's that simple. Now, let me take it a step further. Remember what John said right at the very beginning of this chapter? Why did he say he was writing these things? So that we would what? Sin not. This whole passage is in order to keep us from sinning. Because when you walk in darkness, you're walking in sin. When you walk outside of love and you walk in darkness, you begin to do sin. You begin to practice sin because there's no light anymore. Are you listening? When it's dark, you'll have your hands dabbling in sin and you don't even know that you're doing it. Look at the 12th verse. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. In other words, you've already been washed by the blood of Jesus. Your sins have been washed away from you. Don't go on and do it again. God's cleansed you. Now, don't fall back into the same thing. It was impossible for you to love before you were born again. It was impossible for you to operate in love. But then when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you made Him first place in your life, your sins were forgiven. You were given the capacity to love. Now, don't fall back into sin. You don't have to. Walk in love. Even my wife wants to divorce me. Let her walk in darkness. You stay in the light. Look in the first chapter now. Watch this. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The Amplified Bible says, not in any way. There's no darkness in God. Absolutely none. If you live in God, you'll live in the light. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. How do you walk in darkness? By walking out of love. If you say you have fellowship with God and are walking outside of love, it's a lie. Do you see, it's the same principle that He's given us all the way through this letter. Watch verse 7. But if we walk in the light, we sing it. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. Amen. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, look at verse 10 of chapter 2. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. How do you walk in the light? By loving your brother. Very simple, isn't it? We sing the song, I think we don't know what it means. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Sounds real good. We're walking in the light, walking in the light, walking in the light. In the meantime, we're hating our brother and we don't know it. We're walking in darkness. There's only one way to walk in the light, and that is to walk in love. To walk in love. Well, how do I do that, Pastor? How do I walk in love? You know enough about the life of Jesus Christ that you make your decisions on the basis of His example. Walk in love as He did. How did He respond to the people who attacked Him? How did He respond to the people that mocked Him? How did He respond to the ones that scorned Him? How did He respond to the ones, yea, even that crucified Him? How did He respond? He forgave. He blessed. He's blessed those that persecute you. When He stood before the Roman soldiers, He opened not His mouth in retaliation or self-defense. Look over in Matthew, the 14th chapter. I want to show you something before we close this morning. Quickly. I'll show you how Jesus did. We love to retaliate, don't we, when we've been offended? We love to get back. See, we can get the last zinger in there. Then we can let that person know that they better not hurt us again. That's the way we used to do, I should say, before we came to know Jesus. But let's look at Jesus. In the 14th chapter of Matthew, the story is recorded about John the Baptist losing his head. Do you remember John the Baptist was in prison in Herod's dungeon? And Herod had married his brother's wife. And John the Baptist was in prison because he remonstrated Herod for taking his brother's wife, that it was not lawful that he do that. And so Herod threw him in the jug. And after he was there for a while, the wife, the one who Herod said that, or who John had said that Herod couldn't have, she got real angry at John. And so she had a lovely daughter. Apparently she was in the age of her young womanhood and apparently very attractive physically and sensual. And she could dance in a sensual way. And so she was dancing before Herod. And it was, I believe it was her mother's birthday. I believe that's the story. And after the dance was over, Herod was so physically stirred that he said to the young girl, anything you want, up to half my kingdom, I'll give it to you. And the mother said to the girl, tell you what to do, ask him for the head of John the Baptist. And so she did, and Herod was sorry that he had made that rash offer. But having done so and being the king, he couldn't go back on his word. And so he sent his men down to the dungeon and they lopped off John's head and they brought it on a platter into the king's palace. Now, John the Baptist was cousin to Jesus. John's mother, Elizabeth, and the mother of Jesus, Mary, were cousins. And that made John and Jesus blood related, family. Now, how would you feel if someone had just taken the head of your favorite cousin? John was the only one of the family that even thought Jesus was sane. His brothers and his parents, they didn't understand even what was going on. And John and Jesus had a special relationship. They were both about the Father's business. The Scripture tells us in the 14th chapter, verse number 12, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it. Went and told Jesus. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. He's got power to rain hail and brimstone down upon that palace and take Herod and those two women and all the rest of that crowd and take them right down to the pit. And that's exactly the way many believers today, unfortunately and sad to say, would respond. I'll show them. I'll call 1,000 legions of my dad's angels. He'll come down here and run this place off the map. Nobody ever know about this town anymore or those people. I'll show them. But what did Jesus do? He recognized that Herod was not his enemy. He recognized that it was the devil working through Herod. That was his enemy. And so look at what Christ did. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with what? Compassion. He was moved with love. He was moved with his very nature towards those people. And he healed their sick. He says, Satan, I'll show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to assault your kingdom. I'm going to take your kingdom by storm. I'm going to heal your sicknesses. I'm going to raise the ones that you've killed. I'm going to get back at you, Satan, not Herod. Do you understand? Do you see that? Yes, he retaliated, but not against the man. He retaliated against the kingdom of darkness that had come against him. So it should be with us. So it should be with us. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. But he that hateth his brother abideth in darkness even to this present time. If we'll love, there will be no occasion for stumbling. We'll not be stumbling and falling. We won't be constantly in sin. And instead of struggling against sin, you see, instead of fighting sin in our life, we ought to be striving to love. Instead of battling sin that tries to rise up in us, we ought to be accentuating the positive, and that is going towards love. That's the way God says we're to live. And if we do, then we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ keeps us clean from all of our sin. I think that's a good deal. I mean, I think that's an excellent deal. And I'm going to take God at His word. Now, I'm not going to let that go. I'm not going to let that go. He said it. He promised it. That's His way. And I'm going to have it. How about you? Amen. Amen. Father, we're grateful to you today.